Hey guys, welcome to the Cloud Computing Weekly Podcast, your one-stop for news, information, and expert advice around the emerging world of cloud computing. This podcast is brought to you by Cloud Technology Partners in partnership with our host TechTarget. This is episode 107. My name's Dave Linthicum. I'm Cloud Computing SME, author, speaker, B-List Geek, and with the firm Cloud Technology Partners. And joining me today is our special guest, Zohar, with Dome 9. How you doing, Zohar?
I'm doing great, David.
So where are you physically today?
I'm in Mountain View, California, where we have where Dome 9's headquarters is based, and we also have an R&D center in Tel Aviv as well, which where I'm originally from.
Oh, great, great. So tell us about yourself and how you kind of came to become CEO of Dome 9, and you know, what's the Zohar story?
Sure. So I'm started in information security before it was called information security in 1996, over 20 years ago, at a small company called Checkpoint, which was a collection of a lot of young people. Most of us were straight out of the army, don't really know what we're doing, but this internet thing kind of getting, you know, getting started and getting successful. And security was, we realized probably ahead of many others that this will require technology to make sure we are not we're getting what we want from that experience. And as a young technical marketing person and then as a product manager at Checkpoint, really was able to see information security being formed. I used to tell people that, you know, 20 years ago we didn't even call things like VPN. Those terms were not yet invented. And I spent 8 years at Checkpoint. It was a great experience for a straight out of the army, out of college type of person. And stayed in information security. And when this thing called cloud came to realization in 2009, I kind of figured that security will require some special thinking when we talk about cloud computing. And set out together with my co-founder, Roy Feintuch, to start Dome 9 out. And here we are 5-6 years later, leading the charge to allow enterprises to secure their cloud infrastructure setups.
Now, understanding kind of the kind of nature of cloud security, there's always different, you know, approaches and, you know, technologies, the way that people enable it. So tell us the Dome 9 story in terms of what the technology does and where does it kind of fit into the whole cloud computing equation. Is it SaaS-oriented, infrastructure as a service-oriented, PaaS-oriented, data security and flight, REST? How's it work?
Sure. So I'm in network security. Most of security, there are several disciplines. Network security is probably the biggest one of them. Endpoint security is another one. There are a lot of kind of areas in the middle, but when you come from a network security background or from a when we look at virtual networks and virtual private clouds and we talk about infrastructure as a service, the whole network thing is changing. Virtualization was critical to make that change happen. But today, with software-defined networking and the actual utilization of them in a cloud infrastructure environment, this essentially makes a lot of the old technologies obsolete. And this is what we focus on in Dome 9. When Amazon became the leading force, and together with it, other infrastructure service providers like Microsoft Azure and now the Google Compute Engine, Cloud Engine. We realize that this is a big enough challenge especially for the kind of the traditional enterprise security teams, that they know how to deploy the big firewalls out there, and they know how to deal with traditional networking. But when it comes to public cloud infrastructure environments that are growing so rapidly in enterprises, they needed a lot of help. And Dome 9 itself is a SaaS solution that essentially helps those security teams to streamline security operations, security management, and compliance across those cloud infrastructure environments.
So in other words, you're a cloud service that protects cloud services.
Absolutely, yeah. We are operated from the cloud to protect cloud infrastructure. Yeah. And not to be mistaken with the area that focuses on security for cloud applications, SaaS applications, our sole focus is cloud infrastructure. And in that sense, it's AWS, Azure, and now some Google Cloud appearing in our radar. So most of our customers are using those environments.
Yeah, you shouldn't see Google right outside your office window. So I guess they're always going
to
be.
Absolutely. I relocated actually to sunny California from Tel Aviv 6 months ago. So we realize this is where things happen. We have Microsoft across the street as well. And Amazon is Amazon.
So give me
they're everywhere.
Yeah, you're surrounded three ways, and IBM somewhere in there too. Just can't the building's nondescript. So give me a use case in terms of how I would use Dome 9. So how would I fit it into in my case, since I'm a consultant, someone's moving into the cloud, they're looking at security. What part of the stack would it fit into, and what's a typical use case for Dome 9?
Sure. So all cloud infrastructure vendors offer a construct called a virtual private cloud, which is a network that you can fully program to include the subnets, routing, and firewalling as part of that element called virtual private cloud. And that element, for example, takes care of a lot of the traditional network security that you need to install a firewall in the old days. And when you grow in your footprint, a customer of ours with, let's say, 100 virtual machines, 100 instances on a cloud, will have several thousands of properties and configuration elements to manage across those routing, networking, firewalling, security group setups that they have in this fairly, fairly small environment. When you take it to 1,000 instances we have customers with 30,000+ instances, that the complexity of that data set and the relationship and the fact that in a cloud environment, a single API change, a single configuration change can be so impactful, essentially allows us to highlight our value, which is you trust Dome 9 with the complete visibility and understanding of your network and the way resources are connected to this network, data resources, compute resources, storage resources, etc. And we give you a complete view on your network security exposure, your risk. And because we're not just a monitoring platform, but also offer active management through the platform, you can automate and manage and remediate a lot of the things we help you find and identify in a large environment. When we also look at so we started at networking kind of was kind of our core understanding, but today we have with the help of our customers, we've identified things in the entire compliance stack that looks on the way your storage is configured, the way your data encryption settings are configured. And we can really look at the abundance of services that comprise an infrastructure as a service offering and offer the customer a complete understanding on what's going on there and how to improve that. And it's constant improving. It really is, it's not just fire and forget. You have to constantly make sure you're up to par with your expectations of the environment.
Yeah, security is kind of like whack-a-mole. You're always patching vulnerabilities, and it's ongoing. So the best security is proactive security, correct?
We call it continuous. So it really is a part of the operation. If a customer entrusts us to, if we know of things that, for example, happens, whether it's a configuration change that could present a risk. Or a change that is not according to the corporate policy, we can, instead of just notifying the security team, create another incident, an event, and ask them to respond, we can be entrusted with the essentially write permissions on the environment, and we can actually turn the clock back, undo changes, undo configuration mistakes, and essentially serve as a as a constant, always on kind of a safety net that makes sure that, it will be very hard for your organization to kind of shoot himself in the leg because of an error, mistake, or some misunderstanding, or a lot of software bugs, right? You know, we talk about automated environments. A lot of the DevOps is part of the thinking, and we help make sure that those systems will function appropriately as a representative of the security team in those enterprises. We make sure to also bridge the knowledge gaps and kind of bring them closer to the, I used to call it, the cool younger kids that are developing those amazing mobile apps and are using all those, you know, amazing technologies out of the gate, where the security teams are cannot evolve in that at that pace, and that's where kind of we come in and help them, you know, kind of keep up with the innovation.
So what is your take on all the recent kind of very public breaches? I mean, we had Yahoo, you know, had a huge breach. And, of course, the DNC, the whole scandal around the whole Russian hacks, and also the, you know, Target and Sony and Home Depot. And, I mean, kind of the list goes on. So, and this seems to be not really cloud related. It's traditional systems, email servers, things like that. So what's your kind of take on the trend that's going on? Is it just getting in the news more, or are we actually seeing more vulnerabilities occurring and more hacking occurring because those vulnerabilities exist?
So first, hacking is a business now. You know, I run a 45-person startup out of California, and in Eastern Europe, there are people like me that are running hacking operations that, you know, monetize knowledge and organize almost like organized crime. So when the other side can benefit from it financially quite easily now with Bitcoin, you it's not surprising to see those emerge ransomware all over the place, and it's not surprising. What is surprising is what is changing is that, and probably the Yahoo incident will teach corporates to change and to be more transparent. You know, everybody's getting hit. Your job is to minimize the risk of a hit and minimize the impact of it as a security and as a CEO, as an executive in any company. But at the end of the day, when those things do happen, you have to be open. You have to be communicative to your customers, to your stakeholders, and take responsibility. And this is something that that's very tempting to kind of, you know, put it in a safe and you know, not to disclose it, but you know, the Verizon Yahoo just showed us how dangerous it is, and you know how it can impact and be worth you know, millions of dollars, tens or hundreds of millions of dollars just in that impact. Most of the systems that we hear of, or at least half of them, are somewhat cloud related. They're not necessarily in your AWS or Azure, but in they come from hacking into the hosted environments to which those brands were using. And the network is a network. A human mistake is a human mistake. And bad practice is a bad practice, and when you combine those three things together, you know that, you know, you have to be stronger than the guy next to you. You have to make sure not to make those things accessible and easy to the bad guys, because they knock on every door and window that you have every couple of seconds. The minute there's slight crack in an opening there, you'll be compromised. We saw that with the MongoDB ransom, and this is purely a cloud security or cloud infrastructure security event. And one of the clear utilities, for example, that our solution gives you is, you know, constant monitoring that none of your data assets is mistakenly left outside open and just waiting for somebody to brute force himself into it. And so those things you, we shouldn't give up. And you know, we as a, in the security industry take a lot of responsibility as to, you know, the promises we make, but customers should not give up. And enabling innovation, enabling application development with the best tools and the best capabilities, we need to be there and make sure that, that the security teams have the way to secure that, that innovation and that kind of agility that those organizations are experiencing across the board, not just the cool startups of San Francisco, but also very traditionally surprising enterprises that are, you know, starting to behave and innovate like startups.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So it's basically is a continuous security game. And ultimately, it's you can't set up certain mechanisms and expect them to protect you all the time. They have to be monitored, updated, things like that. And I think people are getting...
Yeah, we used to do an audit every, 12 months, 6 months. This is in an environment that can change so rapidly. With a flick of an API or with one mistake on the console or one bad line of code in a script, you have to look at yourself and reflect and kind of mirror your image of yourself to test it every continuously. And that's the thing that's changing. It used to take a lot of time to run an audit, right? Today, when you can, we offer our customers a PCI and CIS benchmark reports almost in under a minute, they can generate one. So why not, constantly look at your environment, and the minute something goes out of compliance, respond to it. Sometimes, it's okay. Sometimes it's part of the policy and you need to change the policy, but sometimes it's an honest mistake that you can fix in a couple of seconds of attention.
So, kind of moving on, the kind of the new trend in cloud computing is serverless computing, and we've seen things like AWS Lambda, which actually got a big facelift at the last Amazon reInvent show, and then Microsoft Azure Functions, and they're able to manage the starting and stopping machines for you. So this is not necessarily having to allocate a server. So that's why they're called serverless computing. However, they're not really serverless. The servers aren't yours to buy or yours to buy or maintain. You're building an abstract measure of the resources you use, not for runtime usage of the server. So this is kind of a different paradigm. And I'm interested in your take on in terms of how we're going to secure these environments more effectively. So instead of launching a physical virtual server, a virtual server within the cloud, where I can surround it with identity access management systems, encryption, things like that. We're dealing with serverless computers. We're in essence, invoking functions, and they're taking the amount of resources that we need to do whatever we need to carry out, which seems like a more logical progression of computing. I was actually surprised that, it took them so long to get to this space, because we were talking about this 5 or 6 years ago, just kind of fell by the wayside. And I think people were more comfortable in consuming cloud resources through virtual machines they're able to set up and store and configure and all the things that we're able to do these days. But it seems like security is something that it's not an afterthought, but it should be something that is systemic to how we deal with serverless computing. And do you think we're getting there? Are we ready yet? What are the mechanisms there? And how would you guys at Dome 9 kind of approach serverless computing security?
Sure. So first of all, serverless is big. I'm a big fan. And to see how we started using it internally, we try not to be tied to a specific platform, but this was the benefits was too big to ignore. So kind of when we took the collective decision to adopt it, actually for some of our compliance stuff, it was, we haven't looked back. So this is here to stay. From my perspective, this is an example of how innovation in the consumption and execution of compute really forces you to adopt as an industry, and I don't think that AWS kind of imagined it would be so successful, because guess what, we used to have platform as a service that was kind of similar, right? You get your code, you put it in a you kind of upload it to a PaaS platform that you know, things like Heroku and others, and EngineYard, where things would have happened. You just need to bring your code and they'll take care of the infrastructure. But I think that function-based computing took it to an extra level where you can actually enjoy the flexibility without worrying to make sure that things would orchestrate properly and this all taken care of, and you are dealing with much smaller chunks of code per function, and you can kind of build a lot of amazing flows with it. But the thing is that security was not part of the design processes when those things were, you know, presented to the world not even 2 years ago. And the pace of adoption was so staggering, was so impressive, that only now we get questions from our customers. Okay, we're using Lambda. What do we need to take into consideration when it comes to security? So in the service, you need to realize that functions are triggered by a change. So we allow the code in the function to kind of observe something and be triggered by that thing that it observes. It has permissions so that the function can do things on the API realm. Now AWS offers you to run functions in your VPC, so your function will be able to sit next to your big database and as a result of that compute trigger to do thing in your database. And in kind of the most sacred parts of your virtual private cloud or your environment. And this presents so many security implications and so many security challenges that with what we see, customers are not fully aware of. You can very easily misjudge the permissions that you give to your Lambda function, and it's so much easier to allow it to do anything. Not to worry about, you know, giving the granular permission that it needs only to do its job. And for example, once you gave a function more permissions than it actually needed, you created the first building block in a chain of events that could lead to a disaster. But what we are doing now with our customers, and actually Domini now supports Lambda security as part of the main product, is we allow you to first see all your Lambda functions, see how they are invoked, see the permission models that each of the Lambda functions that you have, and it's very easy to, for example, figure out, I have a function that's dealing with storage, why do I need to give it access to a network, or why do I need to give it access, or why does it have access to my DNS, for example, or to any other of the 70 services that comprise an AWS environment. And when I do that, I essentially harden the attack surface or the footprint or the actual resiliency of that environment. And I can see the Lambda functions in the network. I can see how it behaves, how it runs, and essentially allowing, again, those poor security teams that are, you know, playing catch up, how to essentially offer value and identify potential issues in a function-based computing kind of a mixed environment.
Sounds like you guys are proactively doing continuous security and serverless stuff as well. So you're looking into the future, because I think this is going to be a huge deal going forward. I think most of at least the net new apps, I think, are going to leverage serverless-based computing just because it's much easier than dealing with the server-oriented stuff. So where can we find Domini on the web?
Domini.com, very easy. We offer 14-day free trials to out of the web. Just register and experience it. Usually what it needs is access to an AWS or an Azure or a Google account, and essentially you connect your cloud infrastructure with some permissions to a Domini account, and you kind of experience the magic and, you know, reach us out. We have a lot of webinars and demos explaining how to take full benefit from the platform, because it really is growing quite dramatically, as you know, thanks to the innovation that's been throwing at us by cloud vendors out there.
Absolutely. Check out Domini. They have really good security solutions. And certainly if you're moving into the cloud, you're going to need that stuff, and you're going to need someone who's able to continuously update things that are going on, be very proactive. Anyway, please pick up a copy of my book, Cloud Computing and SOA Convergence, which you can find on softback on Amazon as well as on the Kindle. Don't forget to read my blog on InfoWorld. It's doing rather well right now. Also, check out my new cloud computing courses on lynda.com, L-Y-N-D-A. Just search in my name to find those. There's courses on cloud computing basics, cloud security, speaking of cloud security, cloud storage, and cloud-based DevOps, with more on the way. I'm actually recording four next week. Don't forget to go to www.cloudtp.com for current cloud news, links to this podcast, and more ways to contact us directly. Also, follow me on Twitter, at David Linthicum, L-I-N-T-H-I-C-U-M. You have a Twitter account?
Zohar Alon, Z-O-H-A-R-A-L-O-N.
All right, follow him too. He's got great security insights. Also, the winter issue edition of the Doppler Quarterly will be shipping in February. Enjoy 80-plus pages of our top cloud news and best practices delivered to your door for free. If you're not already on the mailing list, you've got to sign up for that one. Visit cloudtp.com/Doppler to sign up. Also, please make sure to support our host, TechTarget. Make sure to read my content there as well as some great research, reporting, and events. Please go to searchcloudcomputing.techtarget.com. So until next time, best of luck in building your cloud computing solutions. We'll be back next week. You guys stay warm and happy New Year. Take care.